Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me talking Michigan's 31-10 win over Indiana. First half of this episode, it's the same format that it almost always is. First half, we'll talk about some of the offensive takeaways, remaining questions, kind of zooming out what it all means. And in the second half, we'll talk about the defense and anything else that comes up. So, Steve, this was certainly an interesting first half. A lot went on. You know, it was 10-10 at halftime. Two teams were, from a yardage standpoint, fairly even. I think Michigan had the edge in yards per play and everything. But 10 points against Indiana, we discussed Indiana's defense heading into the game. This felt like a game where Michigan, you and I both thought Michigan would exceed 40 points. And so certainly a lot of mistakes. There were drop passes. There were missed throws. There were missed assignments or routes run incorrectly. Obviously, there is also the caveat that Mike Hart collapsed on the sideline. Very scary moment. And I kind of wrote about this after the game. Scary for everybody who was watching, but I think perhaps especially so for the players because they're not given, you know, the follow-up information. They're not necessarily, I mean, they're right there and they have to go, you know, with all the emotions still fresh, especially that drive right after Hart's incident. You know, you could see the emotion and they're out there having to play football. So a lot happened in that first half. And certainly there's cause for opinions to form when Michigan scores just 10 points. But to me, you know, I had my takeaways kind of some stuff was written. I ended up erasing pretty much everything I wrote at halftime because that second half I thought was fantastic. I thought you saw JJ McCarthy really carry Michigan for the first time in his career, I suppose. He's had great games. It's not to say that he wasn't a really dynamic, high-performing quarterback before, but this was the first game where I think he was really asked, like, JJ, you have to go score on this drive, or you need to deliver on those third down passes or on those passes further down the field. You know, you're backed up, you're standing in your own end zone, and the game is tied. You have to find a way to calm your team down and keep it moving. You know, Blake Corum had a great game, but it was more methodical. Five yards per carry, 125 yards on 25 carries, and 50 of them came on one carry. So really, it was more like 3 yards per carry after that one carry. So I thought this was a great game for JJ McCarthy. I wrote one of my stories after the game. Felt like it could have been maybe a springboard for him. I mean, this is the best case scenario that his confidence, his comfort leading the offense is at an all-time high heading into the most important game of his career so far. So that really jumped out to me is I thought the passing game came together in that second half, almost negating the concerns of the first half. And I thought ultimately Michigan's passing game, offensive line, receivers, quarterback probably played their best game of the season. Thought Ronnie Bell and Luke Schoonmaker did a really nice job continually being effective. It wasn't a couple plays here and there. It was every snap. They were open, creating separation and making plays. Steve, what was your biggest takeaway from the entire game? On the offensive side of the ball, what jumped out the most to you?
First off, glad to hear that Mike Hart recovering. Guessing he'll be back sometime in the next few weeks. I guess they didn't really lay out a timeline, but it seems like things are progressing there. So glad to hear that. Biggest takeaway on offense. There's a few. I mean, Ronnie Bell really, you know, I think, like you, I agree, McCarthy really stepped up when he needed to, but I think kind of Ronnie Bell did as well. 11 grabs, over 100 yards, no touchdowns, but really was sprung the, was it the final touchdown that he laid the block on the edge, or was that Schoonmaker's touchdown?
Yeah, no, that was right? A great block though. Absolutely.
Yep. So, it, you know, I think it was kind of a deal where Michigan did a lot of the, like they did a lot of the really good little things in the second half that all kind of combined for one of their best halves of the season so far. You know, that's, you know, the penalties, you have a turnover. That is what keeps a lesser opponent on the road in a football game. And Michigan, by far season high in penalties. One turnover, right? But still.
And regarding the penalties, quickly, like I agree with a lot of Michigan fans who felt like the game was called a little too tight. But there were false starts. There were what I would call organizational or mental penalties where, right, like, you know, Blake Corum jumps ahead on that false start when they're at the 2 yard line, so then they have to back up to the one, you know, the kind that we haven't seen. Yep.
Really at all, let alone again on the road. And that's where, you know, like I said, that stuff can sometimes snowball. And, but Michigan really answered the bell, I guess, Ronnie Bell, really came out to play in the second half. I thought another thing, not really maybe like the most standout situation, but I think Carson Barnhart came in and played really well after Jones went down with the ankle. That's why you recruit the offensive line as heavily as you do. We've looked at Barnhart as basically a starter level player throughout, you know, and then that was a relatively close battle at right tackle. Now losing Jones for however long, we'll see. It doesn't hurt as badly when you have a guy like Carson Barnhart ready to go. You know, I mean, Carson Barnhart's the type of guy could go on and play in the NFL someday. I don't think that's a reach by any means. I don't know if he's a draftable player or will get drafted, but either way, like the fall off is not that far for Michigan at that position, and maybe could be a guy who's ascending as a senior player, and could end up playing some really good football for them down the road. So, thought him stepping up was big. I wrote in my takeaways, and like, some people have a hard time like reading comprehension. It's like Michigan has, I said they haven't really missed much of a beat at tight end since Eric All went down. I still feel that way. I think Luke Schoonmaker has been huge for Michigan. I said he's kind of reminded me of Jake Butt the last few weeks as like a very reliable safety valve in the passing game while also providing solid blocking. He's always been a pretty good blocker. And then Michigan's still playing four or five guys at the position throughout the game. That doesn't mean they don't miss Eric All. Eric All was a guy that we said was potential All-American type candidate this year. And that injury doesn't really change that. You know, we had good foundation to believe that because he's one of the best players on the team when healthy. It just means that the tight ends have really still seemed to be stepping up in his stead, and that's huge for Michigan with the type of offense they like to run. So, a lot of play. Another real quick, Cornelius Johnson rebounding from that drop. You know, that's a senior. That's senior leadership right there. That's a kid. Makes a huge, like that, he might have gone for a touchdown if he had caught that pass, the first pass that he dropped. Comes back, makes a huge catch on, I believe, a second and long that cut the distance in half, and then still scored two touchdowns after the drop. Thought him stepping up was huge. He, for some reason, seems to really come alive against Indiana. I don't know why, but that seems to be a team he performs well against. So just a lot of guys really kind of stepping up. I think that's where experience is really valuable. You know, we talk about Ronnie Bell, Schoonmaker, Johnson, you know, even Barnhart's played a lot of snaps out on the offensive line throughout, you know, not a guy that is going to come in off the bench, not know what the hell he's doing. You know, he's going to have some idea of what needs to be done. So it was impressive in the second half. Honestly, I know Indiana's not a very good team. Definitely not one of the top four or five teams Michigan's probably going to face this year. But again, you have a bunch of penalties adding up. You're struggling on the road. Sometimes that stuff is where that's when weird things start to happen and things can kind of slip away in a game that you should win. And Michigan really answered in the second half.
Yeah, it definitely can slip away. And it's also where sometimes you see, I would say, younger teams or, I don't know, less disciplined teams. That's where they start pointing fingers or, you know, saying, hey, you screwed up, and maybe starting to get into arguments or bickering or playing the blame game. And, you know, I asked Ronnie Bell after the game, you know, what was the locker room like? And he said very in sync and methodical. You know, it wasn't about Michigan needs to play better or needs to focus or anything like that. It was just make the adjustments. It sounded like, according to him, everyone was on the same page about what those adjustments needed to be. And then they went out and largely did it. You know, there were still mistakes in the second half. I don't think it was like a perfect second half, but if they had come out and looked like that in the first half, nobody would have cared what they looked like in the second half, you know, because that game would have been over. I mean, it was very dominant, largely on the defense. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but also I thought on offense, I think you just saw a lot of stability, comfort. You know, they weren't fazed by the moment. They didn't flinch. You know, think about Trente Jones. Yeah, he goes out and Carson Barnhart just kind of pops right in. He's also a redshirt junior, also 6 foot, you know, 410-ish pounds. His snap count, he's played over 500 snaps in his career, which is essentially, I mean, he's essentially been a starter for a season based on his snap counts. So yeah, I feel like this Michigan offense, it's a tough group to keep down for four quarters. Like at some point, whether it's the run game or the pass game or, you know, getting a more aggressive or more creative, I think they just have so many, this is where that experience comes into play. Yeah. So many guys who have seen it all, done it all. They've been in Big Ten championships games. They've been in the playoffs. They've also been, a lot of them, on the wrong side of really bad blowouts back in 2020. So this is a pretty, pretty seasoned group. And I think you saw that show. I mean, think about like who was getting targeted the most. It was Ronnie Bell, who's been around for a long time. Luke Schoonmaker, fifth year senior. Cornelius Johnson, senior. You know, I mean, those were the players that when they needed someone to step up, they did, and consistently so. And I thought offensive line, you know, if there's one concern, and we'll talk about this in a second, it's maybe that run game, run blocking against a team that you know, we mentioned they are better at stopping the run, but you know, they stacked the box and for a little while, Michigan didn't necessarily have that great of an answer. So, maybe that's the one critique, but I thought pass protection was fantastic. I mean, JJ McCarthy, I mean, he was only under pressure a few times, less than one out of five times, but still was effective in that sense. So arrows pointing up in a lot of ways. Steve, ultimately Michigan, you know, ran the ball what they needed to do. They had 165 rushing yards on 40 carries, just over 4 yards per carry. Blake Corum helped with that, right, with the 50-yard run. But outside of that play, it was a lot of tough sledding. From your vantage point, was that Indiana fully selling out, stacking the box, just trying to stop the run? Was that Michigan's offensive line maybe missing some assignments here and there? What jumped out to you about the run game? Because I think in the end, it's probably better for Michigan that they had to pass to win the game, because that's a skill set they're going to need later this month. You have to imagine Penn State's top priority will be stopping the run. Michigan State is probably going to sell out completely to stop the run and just hope that Michigan throws picks or something. So at some point they were going to need to have a game where they won with the pass. But what are your thoughts on the run game? You know, Donovan Edwards had maybe a quieter game running the ball than I expected necessarily. Your initial thoughts on what you saw from the O-line, the running backs, and then also the play calling in the run game.
So, yeah, it's the last one you mentioned is kind of where I'm openly kind of wondering what, you know, I think there's times where it feels like Michigan just feels like they can walk out there and dominate the line of scrimmage. But I mean, there were multiple plays on Saturday where Indiana, the box was already kind of crowded, but it felt like Indiana like had some kind of key on when Michigan was going to run the football versus when they weren't going to run the football. And I don't know if Michigan made the right, made some kind of, I know the last drive they did what we kind of figured they would be able to do throughout the game, you know, run the ball down the field, milk the clock, et cetera. But there was a time where I don't know if it was so much about missed assignments and poor blocking as it was Indiana was just rushing the line of scrimmage and there was nowhere to go. The back had nowhere to go, regardless of who it was. Especially considering, I think, was it Indiana's nose tackle was out. It's one of their best players, right? I mean, and this isn't
– Well, linebacker Cam Jones was out, and he leads Power 5 with run stops.
There you go. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that point made even further then. And they're not a good defense to begin with. So, I don't know. I kind of wonder. Penn State, so yeah, like I agree. Penn State, similar Penn State's pass defense has actually been below average so far this year. Feels like Michigan may be able to exploit them there. Because, yeah, Penn State, there's one thing about Penn State that they always have. It seems like, anyway, they always have a pretty solid front seven. They're not a team that it's never really easy to run the football against them. So, I don't know. I thought it felt like it was more – potentially predictable play calling for Michigan on Saturday than it was player failure, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. Especially when you see Corum unable to get back to the line of scrimmage, that usually means there's more people attacking than there are able to block for him. So, that'd be something to look for on the rewatch. I haven't rewatched the game yet. I just know, there was one play I know where I think three Indiana defenders got in the backfield right as the ball was being handed off. And it was like, that was like too telegraph. It felt like they knew exactly what was coming. And, I know Joel Klatt called it out on the telecast too. He ended up not really being totally right in what he was saying about motion versus non-motion being a run versus a pass, but there were stretches where it felt like Michigan was a little predictable there. And I don't know if it's because they feel like they can beat Indiana regardless of how they approach them. That's sort of the sense I get, because if there's one thing, and I know everyone's harped on the deep ball, I think Michigan really only threw the ball down the field, what, once or twice, maybe, is they're so diverse in their skill set offensively that this really does feel like a situation where they have not opened things up all the way yet. Again, open to being wrong, open to being in a couple weeks. We're saying they're still not doing a lot of those things, but they've
said, if it's not open next week, it's just right, not there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But again, with the returning experience and talent they have at back and receiver and at quarterback, if we're being honest, obviously McCarthy's looked great. Then, I think there's got to be a point where we're going to start to see a little bit more. They've really, and we've talked about this, Zach, they've kind of abandoned that, but they threw it a few times on Saturday, but they really haven't gone back to the well with that bubble as often again still. And I don't fully understand why. I think as good at blockers as Bell and Johnson are in particular, I think Andrew Anthony's been pretty good on the edge too. You know, you got a guy like Henning. You could even put Edwards back there to catch a bubble. Like, I just feel like that's something, might be something we'd see on Saturday against Penn State, to get those linebackers to have to think horizontally and vertically. So that'll be something I'm watching. But either way, it felt like they were a little predictable at points on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Definitely felt that way in the first half. I am not someone who knows Michigan's playbook, but yeah, it did feel like there were, especially like that fourth down run. I mean, Indiana was all over that. They knew exactly where that play was going to go and exactly how it was going to look. And yeah, I think the best thing you can do if you're an offense, is just make those linebackers double take on runner pass, right? Because half the battle, I mean, it's kind of like a hitter trying to figure out if it's a fastball or a curveball in baseball. It's like, boy, if you give it to them ahead of time, then yeah, they're going to fare much, much better. So curious to see. Yeah, I mean, Michigan's got so many play callers. I have a hard time believing that this wouldn't go unnoticed, you know, from a week-to-week basis. The only other thing I would add to what you said is I think the vision in the backfield. I think Corum has improved his vision a lot, but I think Donovan Edwards, that might be an additional asset that he's still working on. And I don't know, you know,
he did feel a little hesitant.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That was with him, that was one thing that was definitely noticeable, not attacking the crease as quickly. Corum seems to have a better give and take on go here or go there.
Yeah, but and that yeah, makes Edwards, sense because he's had way more carries this year.
Right.
You know, he has a much better, he's much more in the game rhythm. But that would be maybe the next step. And that's, again, for those who are like, why are they so critical? They won by 21. We evaluate this based on like what Michigan can be. Michigan can be a team that beats Indiana by 45. So, you know, there's more room to grow. Speaking of that, we're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll talk about the defense and other additional thoughts on what this win means for the Wolverines. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back. Thanks for waiting. So, Steve, the defense really shut it down in the second half. I mean, that was incredible. They allowed 29 yards in the second half. And really, in the first half, they allowed almost 200 yards, but it was only 10 points. You know, I think a lot of people were kind of panicking because there were a couple penalties and there was a couple big plays, but really I think this defense is really starting to get to its finished product. I think the only thing I can sit here right now and say it's a problem is just that linebacker coverage. I think that they, whether it's their depth, whether it's the inexperienced, it's a pretty young group outside of Michael Barrett. Obviously Nakaiho Green has been out. I would not have penciled him in as a top coverage linebacker anyways, but you know, it really is a thin room, and you're seeing Junior Colson, as athletic and talented as he is, and as great as he is at tackling and at recognizing and stopping the run, I think coverage is still a weak point. But man, other than that, they're looking pretty machine-like on defense. You know, that the pass rush, 7 sacks. I know Indiana threw it 55 times, but that's still a very good number. They're averaging almost a sack and a half more per game, they meaning Michigan, than they did last season when they had Aiden Hutchinson, when they had David Ajabo. So I don't think that it's quite – I don't think the pass rush is quite as good as it was last season yet, but I do think the drop-off is not what maybe – critics or skeptics had feared. Mike Morris looking like one of the Big Ten's better edge rushers. You know, Yabi Oki starting to get into that conversation too. And I thought Derek Moore had one of his better games. I don't know what the box score says, but eye test, I thought he had a great game. So you're starting to see like a true second platoon in the pass rush. And then I thought coverage, this was a good coverage test for Michigan, especially ahead of the Penn State game, is, you know, having DJ Turner get targeted 7 times, having, you know, Mike Sainristil, they were trying to pick on him. They targeted him 5 times. Yeah, I thought he had maybe his best game on defense, maybe his best game period, actually, for the Wolverines. So I thought you thought they passed the coverage test. They definitely passed the run defense test. I mean, they allowed three runs of 10 yards or more. Everything else got stopped at the line, though. I mean, 13 runs by my count that were 2 yards or less downfield. So I came away very impressed with the defense. And Steve, you were saying something before the show. I'm stealing your thought a little bit, but it really felt like Michigan's rotation and conditioning on defense really started to show, where that pass rush, I mean, every single passing snap, and Indiana was throwing it a ton, but it was like that offensive line, they were like, crap, we have to do this again. Like they just brought in guys with fresh legs who were just as quick and just as athletic. And I'm starting to believe a little bit. And I think the situations of the games play a role here, but I'm starting to believe that Michigan has a true four quarter defense where they have the conditioning, they have the depth, and they have their ability to make adjustments after those first couple drives, I think has been really impressive to watch in Big Ten play where yeah, they almost seem like they're stronger in the fourth quarter than they were in the first. But your thoughts on the defense, some of the biggest things that stood out to you?
I don't think we heard Jamon Green's name one time throughout the entire telecast. I think that's
good thing.
Noteworthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, as in that they're not throwing to him.
Right.
Yeah, nothing against him. Just
no, that's good. No, like, you know, like what corner and like offensive line, right? Are like the two spots you don't want to really hear. If you don't hear the guy's name during the telecast, they're probably playing a high level of football. So that's good. I don't think this is a sign of things to come for DJ Turner. I think he just gets a little too aggressive at points. I think he'll be fine. You know, again, Michigan only gave up 10 points. And it was, I believe the drive that scored was heavily penalty aided too, wasn't it? So either way, yeah, Michigan run defense was excellent. Again, another area where I think a guy like Chris Jenkins doesn't get talked about enough as being an elite run defender. Him and Mozzie Smith in the middle have been awesome for Michigan in slowing down the run. And that allows them to basically shift whoever else all over the place. I think we said last week, I think Okie's breakout has allowed them to utilize Mike Morris in a few different ways than they normally would, you know, and then, yeah, you got Derek Moore on top of that, you know, that again, this is kind of not quite, I don't know, best case scenario, but getting there, especially when you have a true freshman like Mason Graham, who's playing the way he is too. I mean, that these are things we would have predicted that Michigan was going to have a good defense this year and not banked on a true, as high as we were on Mason Graham and everybody was, to be fair. Don't think we thought he'd play this well this early, but defensive line is a spot where, you know, that's what we said. Like if they've recruited a lot of talent, you know, even guys like Rooks and Rayshon Benny, 4-star recruits, like these guys are capable of breaking out. And if they do, every time you add another body, a capable body to the rotation, it just gives a whole new dimension to what Michigan can do, because you can plug guys into spots, but each guy's got a little bit of a different skill set, you know? And so you have almost limitless scenario based personnel groups that you can throw out there. So, you know, that's why I said, you see Okie on the outside, that they can shift Morris inside a little bit on passing downs if they want to. You know, Harrell, great run stopper and getting better as a pass rusher. You know, he's a guy that you don't have to, it's not giving away run or pass. And actually on top of that, I thought Okie, I mentioned this too in the takeaways piece, I thought he made a couple really nice plays in the run game on Saturday too. Michigan had him out there on first and second down. He was not just a third down pass rusher on Saturday. So, you know, that snap count's probably going to continue to go up. So overall, yeah, I agree with you on the linebackers. I think we've been on that for a long time now. It's going to be, it feels like if Michigan gets gashed defensively, it's going to start by getting beat in the seams in the passing game, which is where Penn State with tight end, they always throw the ball to their tight ends. They have a couple good ones again. They always seem to be pretty solid at that. So they'll present a different challenge for Michigan. Cause I agree, there are times where Colson even does look, there are situations where he looks all right in coverage, but on a play to play basis, totally caught out of position a couple times, just, you know, danger zone type stuff against the right team where if they hit the pass, I mean, even there was even the one play, I think Jimmy Rolder came in on a third down and I think it was Lucas for Indiana dropped the ball. If he had caught that, he had nothing but open field in front of him. I mean, they're just,
was that the 3rd and 17 play?
Yeah. But there was
I think Michigan told them like, let him catch. I don't know. I don't think he would have made it, but wow. Okay. Maybe.
All right.
Coach. He was open.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but even then, like, you know, you have a linebacker on maybe Indiana's fastest player. Just the linebacker play does. It seems to continue to be kind of inconsistent. I think we are not that surprised at that. And we've said that a return for Nakai Hill-Green would be big for the unit. And I agree. It's not like it's going to turn around their coverage at the position overnight, but I think it'd be an improvement from top to bottom from what we've seen. So since he didn't travel, I can't assume at all that he's going to play on Saturday. I would be shocked. You know, I would have think a guy would travel with less than a week, but we'll see. But either way, yeah, I mean, thought Michigan really stepped up in the second half too. The other thing was the defensive backs really did a better job of tackling in the second half. If you get Indiana in 2nd and 11, 2nd and 12, it is just night and day when they try to run tempo compared to 2nd and 5, 2nd and 6. And of course, 2nd and 5, 2nd and 6 is good for any offense, but they have to change everything they're doing. If it's 2nd and long versus 2nd and mid or 2nd and short, because you especially against Michigan, who's stopping the run at the level they are, you can't, you know, you have to almost drop back if you're Indiana in 2nd and long, and they were in those situations a lot. And that's where Michigan really feasted. So the overall encouraging performance by Michigan up front. Yeah. That unit just is getting better and better every week. I think it's opponent independent too. I just think these guys, I suspect they should have some success on Saturday against Penn State. That's one area where Michigan always seems to really show out against Penn State, is getting pressure on Sean Clifford. I think we talked last year, his performance against Michigan was one of the grittiest, toughest performances we've seen from an opposing player. I mean, he was getting battered back there. Got to think Michigan thinks they can do something similar on Saturday. So, that unit is gelling at the right time, because if they win on Saturday, they should be considerable favorites the rest of the way until they head to Columbus.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Michigan State, Rutgers, Illinois is now ranked, so it's not like it would be easy. Like, they wouldn't walk to it, but I think you're right. They would be in a position where they can feel comfortable and go into each week feeling capable of a win. So, Steve, the last thing we'll talk about, I mean, you know, we've talked about the offense and defense. Michigan is 6-0. It turns out, you know, their strength of schedule is not particularly high. Iowa lost again. Maryland lost this past weekend. Obviously, the 3 non-conference games, those aren't going to age well no matter what. Is there anything, you know, there's plenty that we're high on. Is there anything else that we haven't already discussed that you think could be a, you know, red flag, orange flag, yellow flag heading into that Penn State game? Because Penn State, you know, I think people sometimes forget, because Eric Gall's play was so incredible. I mean, they had Michigan on the ropes. They almost ended Michigan's season last year. And Michigan was shorthanded and they were on the road. But at the same time, that was a Penn State team that was pretty banged up, that ended up going 7-6. But, you know, that talent, that defensive depth, I feel like is always there. Feel like their offensive line and run game are at least improved this season. I don't think that they're necessarily elite yet, but at the same time, you know, I think that Auburn win, you know, as bad as Auburn is, you know, that was still a pretty impressive display of how much more balanced Penn State is. So anything jump out to you, you know, from these last 6 games, and thinking realistically, like, what can actually be fixed? What can actually, you know, be changed? Cause like, I think the linebacker coverage, I think the hardest part for Michigan is they just have to play around it. You know, it wasn't great last season. It's probably about the same this year, but they did all right last season. They figured out, you know, how to minimize its impact. But if you're Michigan's coaches, I mean, what are some of the things that you're circling heading into this week? Like this needs to be corrected. This has to be improved, knowing who their opponent is this week.
Yeah, I mean, because things do seem like really mostly pretty good right now. I do think, you know, Michigan is going to need even more from McCarthy than what they've gotten. I'm not sure they can just play the short to intermediate game, because Penn State's front seven is probably the second best. Ohio State by default will probably have the best front seven that Michigan will face this year, but Penn State's probably second. So maybe some onus on the offensive line to protect, because Penn State does have some solid pass, some really good pass rushers. They stole Chop Robinson from Maryland. He's really good. Abdul Carter looks like a stud as a true freshman. So Penn State's always got guys up front. So, you know, Barnhart will have to step up. Ryan Hayes will have to keep playing the level he's been playing at. So, you know, I just think they'll need more out of JJ McCarthy on Saturday. Just not that they, you know, he's played excellent ball in my opinion so far this season. I just, you know, this will be another step in his sort of journey, or, you know, culmination of the first six games of the season. So, and then defensively, yeah, I mean, I really think it comes down to the linebacker play still, maybe the safety play. What happened? Like I had to look, I haven't seen, I said, I didn't rewatch the game, but RJ Moten, did he play on Saturday? He was not on the PFF snap count. You know, is Michigan going to need more at that position, you know, besides Rod Moore, Makari Page? I saw Quentin Johnson got a little bit of extended run on Saturday. Must have played okay, because didn't really hear his name much out there. But, you know, just that middle of the field, you know, Penn State, Nick Singleton's a home run hitter, true freshman, was the number one running back in the cycle last year. You know, he hasn't put up numbers the last couple games, but is a guy that is one of those classic home run hitter type running backs. I mean, if he finds a seam and gets in the open field, he's going to be tough to stop. So, you know, I think it comes down to limiting those big plays in the running game for Penn State, and then just getting more pressure on Sean Clifford, because we've seen Penn State just feels very inconsistent. I think Penn State could come in on Saturday and win. I think Michigan could go in and blow them out. I mean, they barely beat Northwestern week before. I mean,
and that Central Michigan game was another one where you saw it almost in the same game, where they were kind of flirting. They came out hot, let them back in, and then finished kind of like how you expected them to. Right. But
was
you
much saw closer, inconsistency. Was much closer than what the final score indicated, at least for first three and a quarter quarters, you know. So, you know, which Penn State shows up. But I do still think that Michigan overall, I think if Michigan plays to their capabilities, I think if both teams play their capabilities, I would pick Michigan to win this game. But yeah, you got to slow down. You can't let them break the big play in the running game. And then, yeah, I think that middle of the field defensively is going to be huge for them.
Yeah. In terms of Moten, just to clarify, he played 14 snaps on Saturday, but that is something to keep an eye on, that it almost seems like, you know, the other safeties were playing more. So I don't know if there was an injury. Michigan won't talk about it, even if there was. Yeah, I know he missed a tackle. So some things to keep an eye on in that front. I'm with you all the way on, you know, this has got to be a game where Michigan's offensive line really shines. You know, if Michigan wins, beats Penn State, my guess is that one of the talking points after the game will be how its offensive line played, because this is a good defensive front. And so that's where the yards before contact, you know, the run play, trench play, the run game trench play, I should say, against Indiana is interesting, because I don't think that is a weakness of Michigan when Michigan is playing at its best. But for a litany of reasons on Saturday, that is something that if I'm Michigan's coaches, I'm keeping an eye on this week. Like how do you create more space in that run game, because I think it's fair to say Blake Corum's one of the best running backs in the country. And I think it's fair to say Donovan Edwards is one of the best backup running backs in the country. And so, you know, how do you maximize that? And I think some of it is getting them involved in the passing game, or getting, you know, maybe working on those read options a little bit too, you know, just to keep Penn State or whoever's defense guessing, particularly at the linebacker position, where if you can catch them out of position, you can make a big play. You can, instead of second and nine, it's second and two. And then you can get really creative and aggressive and do a number of things. On defense, I think the big thing is just continuing to get whatever you saw in the fourth quarter over the past 3 weeks. And some of that is situation, right? You know, when those teams are trailing, Michigan gets to go into the onto the field and say, we know they're about to pass. So I guess finding a way to determine when it's going to be a pass play, but then also bringing that same tenacity, same confidence. Because you talk to the defensive line, I mean, they feel really good about where they're at. They are really pleased with a lot of the individual development. A guy whose name we didn't mention this week, but Mason Graham, you know, continuing to be just really valuable as a true freshman on that defensive front. So yeah, I feel like there's seven or eight players who are really locked in, really producing at a very consistent level. And so, yeah, creating pressure and ultimately just controlling the game, right? If you last season with Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, I mean, they controlled what opposing offenses did. They dictated it because their play and their tenacity, I mean, it forced other teams to have to like shorten their playbook. They couldn't do, you know, the seven step drops and waiting for a long play to develop 25 yards downfield. You know, they had to think differently. So continuing to be disruptive up front, because I really like where the cornerbacks and the safeties are at. You know, I really think, you know, that Iowa game, maybe a little bit of cause for concern, you know, thinking about a Mike Sainer still, but he had a great bounce back game. I thought Rod Moore had a great game as well. And so, yeah, continuing to, you can count on that, but you do have to hurry the clock up, get Penn State out of rhythm, I suppose. I did think one last thing I would mention about Michigan-Indiana. I thought Michigan handled tempo pretty well. I thought they did. I thought they seemed pretty aware of when it was time to sub and when it wasn't. And they seemed to be pretty cognizant of you know, which players needed to be out there in which given situation. But, you know, that was something I know we were watching before the games to keep an eye on. All right, with that all said, that's going to do it for today's episode. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Be sure to check out all of our stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Lots of content, not just from this game, but looking ahead to a top 10 matchup against Penn State. We will also have a preview episode where we really dig into what Penn State does, you know, who their top players are, and what Michigan can do to stop them. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.